it is a joy to be here, and thank you, Roth, for inviting us and allowing us to come. And today, you know, it's always kind of funny when whenever I do this and people show up at church, they like see all this stuff and they go, what are you doing in church? Is it craft day? But hopefully the Lord will really speak to you today. And we're going to tailor today around marriages and look at this, look at our marriages through the potter. So as Raph alluded to in Jeremiah, I'm going to read Jeremiah 18. And I'm just going to read the first few verses and to kind of set the stage. And it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So, listen, the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and in Scripture, our relationship with the Lord and the way he works in our lives, there's a lot of references to the potter. And I believe it's because, hey, the art of making pottery has not changed since the days of Jeremiah to today. It's basically the same. Jeremiah's day, they would have had a huge stone wheel, and a helper would have turned it for the potter and got it spinning as he worked. And today, I tried to get Roth to get one, and he said, no, we use electricity. So the only difference is electricity. Other than that, it's exactly the same, and I believe that's why it's in Scripture so often, is it's something that hasn't changed. Now, I want us to notice, though, he said, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and listen to what he says. I want you to go to the potter's house, and I want you to hear my word. He says, Jeremiah, I want to show you something, but I want to speak to your heart. I don't want you to just see with your eyes. I want you to hear with your heart what I have for you. And that's our prayer today, is that you guys are all going to be Jeremiah, and I'm going to be the potter. And you're all going to go to Jeremiah or to the potter's house, and hopefully the Lord will speak to your heart and show you something specifically for you, specifically for your marriage, that you can get a hold of, that's a visual thing that you can get a hold of and you can leave here strengthened. So what we're going to do here in the beginning is I always like to say this, I'm going to attempt to make a pot, because sometimes it doesn't work. So I'm gonna try and make a pot, and Alex is going to sing a song for us. I'm going to work on a pot, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to just watch, observe, and see what the Lord would speak to your heart about what's going on in your life and your marriages. And then after that, we'll kind of go through some things and talk about the whole way that the potter works and how the Lord works in our lives. We got one made, so that's always good. So, thank you, Alex. Good job. So, hopefully, as you watch that, one thing that you noticed is they use a lot of water. And in Scripture, it says that the Word of God is the water that cleanses us and washes us. And it also tells us, husbands, we're to wash our wives with the Word of God. Our responsibility is to oversee that area of life and wash our wives and bring the Word into our wives' lives and use it. And that's our responsibility. So today I brought several different pieces of clay, and they kind of, to you, they all look the same. But to me, there's a big difference. You know, you might say, hey, one's bigger than the other, but there's a bigger difference than that. This piece is soft and pliable. This piece, hard as a rock. Now, I can't do anything with this. If I put this on the wheel, it's just going to and beat me up, and I can't do anything because it's hard. Now, here's what I love, though, and this is why I love to do this presentation. It's not hopeless. And for some of us, your marriages, you may feel like it's hard right now, and is it ever going to get better? Well, all I have to do is take this lump of clay, dump it in this bucket of water for a few hours, and it's going to be soft and pliable, and I can work with it. Our hearts, some of our hearts are this way. Even to the Lord, some of our hearts are this way, but even to each other, some of our hearts are this way. The answer, you need to soak your heart in the Word of God, and you need to let it become pliable and let the Lord work in your life and guide you and direct you. So I'm going to take this piece of clay here, and I'm going to put it up here, and I want you to keep an eye on it of what's going to happen to it during this presentation. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. And you know what? It's kind of a drag because some of us, here's what some of us think. If we push God out of our lives, and it's kind of the hip and the cool thing to get rid of God and go the way of the world. But here's what's going to happen when you do that. Your heart's going to get like that. It's going to get hard. And it's not going to be pliable. And God's not going to use you. So think about that. I always like to say, like, the most uncool thing up here besides me is that lump of clay. It's not cool to be that way. And so, but the world kind of tells us that. Now, how many people have tried to do pottery? Wow, a lot of you, huh? A lot of you gave it a shot, and most of us quit. I was talking to Martin. Most of us quit because the hardest thing to learn is centering. Those of you who raised your hand, maybe you just worked with clay, but on the wheel, you have to learn how to center it. And centering's hard to learn. You got to push down on the top and push in on the side to get a pot centered. And it takes a long time to get good at that. And some of you who raise your hand, you know, right? And you kind of went through that. And a lot of us kind of gave up at one point. We're going, psh, I can't do that. Well, for me, I remember as I was taking pottery in high school about 5 years ago and trying to learn how to do it. I remember I worked and I worked and I worked to get it centered, and I had it about like this, and the teacher goes, that's close, Pat. You just need to work a little bit more. Now, here's the problem. We don't center our lives on Christ. And some of us, even in our marriages, we want just enough of Jesus that we're not going to go to hell, but we don't want so much of him that he's going to interfere with our lives. And that's kind of when we're off-centered. So you're kind of like this. Now, I remember that teacher told me to keep working, and I worked and I worked, and I got it about like this. And some of you are going, dude, I never got that good, you know. But, hey, I got it about like this. And I asked the teacher, how's that? And he goes, oh, you need to keep working. Well, I looked at the clock, and I thought, class is almost over. And what do teachers know anyway? Right? So I'm going to make a pot. It's close enough. And again, that's some of us. We think we're close enough. So let's see what happens when we make a pot that's not centered. So we kind of get him this far. And again, some of us are going, hey, that's better than I ever got. Well, and then here's the thing, man. Satan comes along and whispers to you, and here's what he said. You're okay. You're not like that guy. He's so hard. You're okay. And Jesus says, you know what? I love you too much. I'm not going to leave you that way, and I'm not going to leave your marriage that way. So what happens is pressure begins to come in our life, and as pressure comes in our life, we kind of grow and change, and we're getting up there, and you know, we're kind of looking like that, and some of us again think, well, that's not too bad, and then the Lord comes and works some more in us, and then all of a sudden in our life, we're kind of, look at my life, and we go, you know, Rob, look at our lives. Our marriages are ripped and they're torn. And he goes, what's wrong? And he says, you weren't centered on Jesus. And we say, but how did you know? And he says, because you were going around here like this. And listen, we laugh, but everybody knows. Everybody knows. And you're not centered, and so your life is messed up. And here's the answer. You got to get centered on Christ and make him the center of your relationship. So once again, here's what I love. Is it over for this? No. All I have to do is mush this up on here and push it down and get it mushed up and center it. We don't have time for that this morning. And you recenter it and get this centered on Christ, and then I can make a great pot. And it's the same in our lives. So I'm going to put this guy up here so you can watch him. We're going to have several of these people all over the stage. So kind of keep an eye on this guy right here. I'm not a good artist there. He's looking all right. So we have that guy, and my mic just fell. Grab that mic. I guess stick it in my pocket. Thank you. So, hey, and then this one, I kind of like this guy a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I love to hear testimonies, how people got saved and the way they came to the Lord and just how our God uses so many different ways for us to come to him. And you know, some of us, we say, man, there was never a time where I didn't know Jesus. Like, I was raised in a good Christian home, and there was never a time. And some of us, we say, it was a process. I listened to this. I listened to that. And for some of us, it was a real, real radical transformation where you kind of just all of a sudden you give your life to Jesus and your life is radically, radically changed. That was kind of my testimony. And I came to Jesus and I remember I had kind of faked it for a while. Maybe some of you are doing that. I faked knowing God. Learned a language. Learned how to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. And I even looked up amen in the dictionary. But hey, I learned that stuff and I was faking it. And then one night I gave my heart to Jesus. And my life was radically changed. The Bible came alive for me. And I was passionate about my relationship. I was passionate about reading the Word of God. I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And some of us are that way. Some of us have that testimony. And then something happens in our lives and we begin to drift away. And we're not reading the way we're supposed to. As husbands, we're not taking care of our wives the way we're supposed to. Again, pouring into them, giving them the Word of God, and being that husband that disciples his wife. And when we begin to do that, listen, things begin to happen in our relationship. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and make a pot without water. And I'm going to show you what it looks like when we drift away from the Word of God. Remember I said that the Bible says that the Word of God is water to our souls, and it's a water that washes us. So I'm going to try and make this pot without water, and we're going to see what happens. Now, this is the one time I need participation. So can you guys help me out? So here's the deal. Thank you. A couple of you want to. The rest of you, wake up. You kind of ate too much. Now you're like, I'll let you go back to sleep in just a minute, but pay attention right now. So as a potter, I'm used to getting the water and putting it on there. So it's a habit. So I want to not use water. So if I reach for the water, you have to yell no, okay? You guys with me?
Yeah.
Oh, both of you. Thank you. Okay, so if I reach for the water, you're going to yell, right? Come on, I was going for it, and then everybody's just like, Wake up, pay attention, I need your help, okay?
Hey.
All right, you got it ready? So let's do it. I just about went for it again. So I'm going to reach for it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try and make this pot without water. So we begin here and kind of making it grow and bring a little pressure, because Jesus loves us, and the pressure isn't bad, it's good. And not too bad, huh? Again, some of you are saying, man, that's better than I ever got a pot when I tried. And so, hey, and Satan, you're Satan. He goes, he's whispering in your ear, you don't really need the word. You just need experience. You don't need that. And we do this. We go, and he goes, and you're a lot better than those two guys. And we go, yeah, I am. We're like all happy. And Jesus does this. He says, I'm not going to leave you there. And I'm not going to leave your marriage there. I love you too much. So along comes a little bit more pressure, and now you're kind of sticky and gritty and kind of difficult and still trying to make that pot. And we're going up, and again, it doesn't look too bad for a while. And then all of a sudden, look at my life. It's ripped and it's torn. Once again, we're up. We're wondering what happened, and it's so obvious what happened. You didn't have the Word of God in your life. And your life is ripped and you're torn, and you go, how do people know that I'm dry? It's because on the outside, You're sticky and gritty. Now, listen, some of you will get that on the way home. A couple people are laughing now. They're going, yeah, that makes sense. Hey, you're sticky and gritty. And you know, here's the thing, though. All I have to do is mush this guy up, right? Work on him, center him, and use some water, and I can make a pot that's usable. In the same way in our lives, all we have to do is get in the Word of God, allow His Word to penetrate and soak into our lives, and allow Him to move in us. So again, I'm going to put this guy up here, and now we got three guys, so here we are. You can kind of keep an eye on all three guys. So now you know why I make a pot in the beginning. If I wouldn't have made that first pot, you guys would be saying, Ralph, all this guy can do is make a mess. Why did you bring him up here? But I made the pot. But here's what I know. You're starting to see yourself. You're seeing your life. You're seeing yourself in through the potter's eyes, through that God wants to speak to you, and some of your marriages you're seeing now. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to make a pot, hopefully, and we're going to talk about it step by step and how that works in our lives, in our marriages, as we relate to God. So the first step I said already was you center the clay. And again, we're going to center this, or at least try to center this. And as we work on this, I want us to understand something, that the pressure I have to put, pressure pushing down and pressure pulling in, so the clay gets centered so I can work with it. And I don't know about you guys, but I very rarely get up in the morning and ask God for a little more pressure in my life. That's usually not my cry in the morning. My cry in the morning is usually, Lord, I want a really easy day. I want a really good day. I don't want anything in my way. I don't want anything going wrong. And I don't want to take four flights to get to my workout. So, hey, but we don't want pressure. But let me tell you something. Pressure is what changes us. And pressure is what molds and shapes us. And in our marriages, pressure's not good in our eyes. But if we begin to understand the Lord is bringing those things in your life to refine you and to make you that couple that He wants to make you, and He's working in such a way, we begin to appreciate pressure a little bit. So after we get it centered, I think this is centered pretty good. We got this guy centered. Now the next step is I just take two fingers and I just kind of push it right down in the middle of the pot to open it up. And this is the part that, you know, that I think I relate to an awful lot in my life. And this is when, you know, if the clay could talk right now, the clay would be going, ah, that hurts, right? Because I'm digging into it. And I liken this to those times when the Lord touches those places in our heart that are so tender and they're so special that we don't talk to anybody about. We don't even talk to our spouse about it. And the Lord touches that spot, and He wants that spot. And we scream, Lord, that hurts. And here's what He says, I know. I know, but listen, if I don't do that, I can't make a pot. And if you don't give that place to the Lord, that tender, soft, painful place, here's what He says, I can't make you into the man of God or the woman of God that I have intended for you. You got to give that up. You got to let Him touch that place in your life, and you got to give Him that place. And hey, most of this stuff happens, you know, not just one time, maybe several times as we're going. But this one here, I think this one here just kind of happens once. And now I'm going to pull directly back and kind of open this pot up so we can begin to work on it and begin to make it grow. And as you open it up, hey, I liken this to, you know, it can be for some of us, it can be when we finally come to the Lord, or maybe we could even this morning talk about, hey, this is when we made our vows to each other and we opened our life up to one another. You opened your life up to your spouse and you said, okay, now I'm going to be vulnerable. Now I'm going to let myself be open to you. And that's a scary thing. And here's the thing, though. You can't grow as a marriage unless you're open to each other, unless you're willing to communicate, willing to let your spouse get into your life in those areas. And, you know, I look around, I see some marriages that I think are years in. My wife and I have been married 49 years now. We're almost to 50, so I think we're going to make 50. I'm thinking it's going to work. But we're at the, hey, and you got to be open. And you got to open yourself up. And the potter, I can't make a pot unless I open this pot up. You cannot have the marriage that God intends you to have unless you become vulnerable to each other. And we need to understand that. And yeah, there's going to be some pain involved. But you know what? It's worth it. So once you get open, now comes the part. Now comes the part where we begin to more pressure. Again, that stuff we pray for. And here's what I do is I put pressure on the inside and pressure on the outside. And actually, most of the pressure is on the inside. The outside hand, I'm just pushing against my outside hand, and I start coming up. And watch the pot grow, because some people go, oh, that's magic. It's not magic. Listen, all it is pressure. So here comes some more pressure in our life. And as that pressure comes, you know, Jesus is working in us. And now we begin to grow and to change. And your marriage begins to grow and change. And you as an individual, listen, your marriage is only going to grow and change as much as you allow the Lord to work in your life and to grow you and change you. And all of us, it's going to be different. You know, we're going to grow at different rates. God's going to show us different things. We're going to be sharing with each other. But he's going to continue bringing that pressure in our lives. And once again, we either accept it or we don't. And, you know, hey, I look at my life, man, and I started out, I think especially in our marriage, I started out as this guy when I accepted the Lord as just this guy who knew nothing. And then I kept reading the word and getting involved. And all of a sudden, I started growing like this pot. And I started changing. And as I began to change, here's what I noticed. I began to appreciate more and more what God was doing in my life, even when it was painful and even when it hurt. And I, you know, then you kind of get to a place. And maybe after several years, you get to a place where you sort of begin to take each other for granted. And you just kind of are just going through life and going through the motion. And it's sort of like this pot here where we get up this far. And, you know, this pot looks okay, but I don't think it's really great. But, you know, it's not a bad pot. And in our life, we kind of get to the place where it's okay, it's not great, it's not bad, but it's just okay. How many of you would give me €2 for that pot? Okay, lots of people with the gift of mercy. You need to pay attention, Raph. These people all have the gift of mercy. Most of you looked at that and you go, it's pretty plain. I think it's ugly. I think that pot is ugly. Why? It's not finished. I can see it's not. I'm the potter. I can see it's not finished. I did this in Germany, and there's a German word that they used when they were translating, and there's a German word called pot ugly. This is pot ugly. You know, I don't know all that, but you know that word? Okay, thank you. Pot ugly, huh? See? There's that word again. Yes. So it's ugly. And it's, why is it ugly? Because it's not finished. And you know, some of us in our marriages, this is where we're at. And you're not gonna give me money for this pot, but you're content to stay there in your marriage. And here's what the Lord would say to you: I've got so much more for you. All you have to do is trust the potter. All you have to do is trust me. I can make your marriage what you maybe even as you began, you were dreaming of. I can make it better than that, but you got to trust me. You got to let me work in you. And that's, you know, for my life, that's where I was in my relationship with my ministry, with my wife. And so I just kind of got complacent, and it was just okay. And the Lord says, trust me. Let me do this. And that's all you have to do. Because you know what? The potter knows exactly what he's doing. And you need to know something. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves your marriage. And he wants to work. He wants to make it what God intends for marriage to be. So all we have to do is trust him. So now as I work on this, listen, as I work on this, here's the thing. Do you guys know what clay is? It's dirt, right? You walk on it every day. All clay is dirt. Like, it's not valuable. You know, I don't know, you know, this clay, this much clay, maybe is a euro. It costs, but what's going to take this clay from like this to a pitcher like this worth 400 or 500 euros? Well, maybe 40. But hey, what's going to take it? What's going to take it from that to this? What's going to give it value? My hands. See, people say the fire and stuff. Hey, you can fire any piece of clay. It's my hands that changes it. Listen carefully. What is going to change your marriage? The work of the potter's hands. God working in your life, trusting him and allowing him, and he will make your marriage valuable. He will make your marriage what it needs to be. And individually, he's going to work in your life so you'll be the man and woman of God, and he will give you value. We don't get our value. Listen, we don't get our value from the world. I think a lot of our marriages and our own failures are because we put so much faith in worldly things, and whether we have this education, whether we have this job or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with those things unless that's where you're looking for value. Jesus Christ gives you value. What does the Bible say? Store your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and the thief does not come in and steal. But you put your value here, it's going to fade away. So all you have to do is trust him and allow him to work. So now as we begin to work on this pot might be going, hey, Pat, what am I going to be? What am I going to be? What are you going to make me? And I would tell that you're going to be quiet is what you're going to be as I work with you. But you know what? Here's the thing. This pot has no idea of what it's going to be. Who knows what the pot's going to be? The potter. Hey, before I ever put this clay on the wheel, I had an idea of what I was going to do with it. And you need to know that about your life and your marriage. You know, the Lord knows exactly what he wants to do in your life and how he wants to work in you. And all you have to do is trust him. So now I'm going to really change and, you know, not change a lot, but the real emphasis now is going to be on the inside. As I'm going to push on the inside, it's going to really begin to give this pot shape and form and change it pretty radically. And I want all of us to remember, how do we change? We change from the inside out, right? We don't start with the outside. We start with the inside and allow God to work on the inside of us. And as he works on the inside of us, we change and begin to take on this really, really beautiful form. And no longer are we just this pot, or what the sister said here, this German pot, ugly pot. But hey, we begin to change, we begin to take on form, and now we're looking okay. And even some of us are thinking, you know, in our lives, in our marriages, we think, I'm not too bad. I'm looking okay. And then, you know, as you work towards the top, it gets kind of delicate, and you have to be kind of careful. Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed and paid attention, but have you noticed when I'm working on the pot, do you notice where my eyes are? They're on the pot, right? Like, I'm not working on the pot looking over here because I'd wreck it. But my eyes are on the pot. Where do you think God's attention is in your life? Now, he's glued to you. He's watching you. He's not gazing at his other creation. He's looking at you as an individual because he's changing you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. So as I work on the top here, as it gets kind of delicate, I want you, this is something that I really like. Like, I'm going to use my little finger. I'm going to use my other hand to kind of support it. But I'm going to use my little finger and watch a clay follow my little finger. Is that cool? I don't know about you guys, but I want God to be able to take my life and go over here, go over here, just with his little finger. I'm the type that sometimes he's got to yell. And, you know, he uses his finger, and I'm like, I'm not moving. And then all of a sudden he goes, Pat! And I don't move, and then he does this, Patrick, like my mom, right? Using your formal name. I never like it when my mom would go, Patrick, I'm in trouble. And the Lord says, and he wants me to move. And hey, we should be guided just by his little pinky on us. And now I'm going to take this and kind of fold it around. And the clay might get a little bit nervous, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I fold it around and get it around here. Kind of get a nice, good, thick lip on this. And now it's not looking too bad, huh? Kind of okay. This pot's going, wow, I am looking good. And some of us do that. Oh, and then they go, but I got to trim some clay off of you down here. And if I was going, is that going to hurt? And I go, oh, that's really going to hurt. Like, I'm going to dig this in you. And sometimes there's some extremely painful things that God has to do in our lives, and especially in our marriages, to get us where he wants us to be. Trust the potter. Listen, I'm not digging in this just to be mean. I'm not like taking this and going, bleh, bleh, bleh. How does that feel? I'm doing it very intentionally, and I'm doing it right where it needs it to make the pot exactly how I want it, and God is doing that in our lives and in our marriages. So look, I'm going to take this guy, trim this away, and he might be screaming and yelling if the clay could talk, and I'm just going to like take that away, get that trimmed up there. And you do it carefully. That's all trimmed up. And then we're going to, like, scrape all this away. It looks pretty good, man. And, hey, some of us, like, we're like this guy. We're going, whoa, look at me, man. I'm pretty awesome. And even, hey, some of our marriages, we're kind of faking it. And we're going, look at our marriage. Look how great we are. We're looking good. Do you know what God sees? Here's what God sees when you act that way. And you're going, I love that reaction. Listen, it's not hopeless. Here's why I love doing this. It's not hopeless. Check this out. Another sharp tool. Clay doesn't like sharp tools, but you got to use them sometimes. Get this sharp tool, and you take this off, I think. Here we go. You take all that off. Oops. By the way, when I go, oops, God never does that. I just thought I'd let you know. He doesn't like work in your life and go, oops, sorry. It's kind of where it breaks down. I'm glad that happened. So, just so you know. Hey, now look, so you have this and you go, well, that's horrible. It's not horrible. Watch this. So again, the potter grabs the clay and it goes, okay, you know, that I'm done with that. And I begin to stretch it a little bit more pressure, right? Because you bring in that pressure, and now we work on it, and check this out. We get a really nice bowl. Now, some of you are going, dude, that's just a bowl. Like, you had this really nice pitcher, and now you just have a bowl. Now, when you're eating your cereal in the morning, do you have Cocoa Puffs in Spain? Any of you know what Cocoa Puffs are? Yeah, some people know. Okay, yeah. It's okay. Hey, when you have your box of Cocoa Puffs and your jug of milk, do you need a vase or a bowl? You need a bowl, right? And here's my point. Hey, you got to let God develop and work in you what he wants you to be as an individual and what he wants you to be as couples. Don't try and be, listen, maybe even as couples, maybe we look at somebody and we think they have the most glamorous, great relationship ever, and we're trying to model our lives after them, and you're not them. And you're trying to be a vase when God says, I just want you to be a bowl. And again, some of us think, well, a bowl's not that valuable. Hey, when I made pottery, my wife and I did pottery for a living for 15 years. When I made pottery, I made dinnerware sets. I even made people's bathroom sinks in custom homes. I made like all kinds of stuff, even down to salt and pepper shakers. Do you know which piece of pottery was the most important to me? The one I was working on at the moment. It wasn't one more important than the other. It was the one I was working on in a moment. So, hey, this bowl is, as a bowl in Jesus, you're just as valuable as a vase because he's molding you. He's working in you and your marriage. And we need to understand that. Now, I did bring a couple other pots just in case I couldn't get one made. I could say, see, I did make one. I made this at Raph's house before we got here. And some of you might go, how do I know you didn't, like, pick that up down in Palma, the market and stuff? And they're, you know, they're selling stuff. Well, it's because my name's on the bottom. Now, I don't put my name on the bottom for me. I know my pots. Do you know that I've handled these pots every place you could possibly handle it? I put my name on the bottom for you so that the person buying it, God doesn't take us as individuals and grab us by our ankles. Are you mine? He knows we're his because he's worked on us. Now, we have to stop here. I wish we could do everything. I wish we could fire a pot and, you know, go through all that. Because you put it in a kiln. This is the best part for the potter. You take your pot and you put it in a kiln. And I lived in a community, Bisbee, Arizona. Anybody here of Bisbee, Arizona? Okay, two people. Yes, all right. It's world famous. So there we go. See, I'm in Mallorca and somebody heard of it. But they're from Arizona, so it doesn't count, I guess. But but Bisbee, so it's high. It's a mile high in elevation. And hey, I used to fire my pots early in the morning, and I would get up, and I had a huge kiln, and I would load all the pots in, and then you brick it up, and you leave a couple bricks loose. And then you begin to fire it. And you turn it on real low to start. You have this real low flame going into the pots, and you look in to make sure your pots are okay, and the pots are going, oh, Pat, that feels so good, thank you. You know, and it's happy, and then you turn it up a little bit more. Oh, that's better, thank you. You turn it up a little bit more, and the pots are going, dude, it's getting like Phoenix in here, stop it. And then you turn it up more, and you get higher and higher. And I used to fire it at 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is, Celsius, but it's way hot. And the flame, when you start out, is like this. When you finish, it's going through there. It's going. And you're looking in there, and you see the pots. And the pots go from red hot to white hot to translucent. And the potter's looking in there, and the potter's like, yes. And the pot's yelling, I'm dying! And the potter says, good. Because you need to die to yourself and live for me. See, that's what this is all about. And you and I need to understand that. And we need to trust the potter. Now, people ask me, do you still sell pottery? I don't have time to make it to sell. And they go, well, you brought that one. Could we have it? And I go, well, it's not finished. There's 21 steps to making a pot. This is just one. You got to handle it. You got to do things. You got to trim it. You got to put it in the kiln. You got to take it out of the kiln. You got to glaze it. You got to put it back in the kiln. So there's a lot of steps going. And then people will say, well, you know what? Just tell me the steps and I'll do it. I don't have any successful pottery students. This is really bad, me personally. Like, I tried to teach my wife. I tried to teach my daughter. I tried to teach my mother-in-law. I tried to teach my nephew. I tried to teach one of my neighbors. None of them. And it might be because I'm not real patient. And I, like, push him out of the way and finish it for him. I spent time. I was good with Jonathan, huh? You watch that. I tried with Jonathan. Maybe he'll be my success. But I haven't had any successful ones. But you know, people will go, well, you know what? I'll just ask somebody. And, hey, what this pot needs, only the potter knows. And you say, what does it need? Here's what this pot needs. You go, you broke it. Hey, I broke this pot to save it. And you're saying, but it looks kind of ruined. It's not ruined. You see, all I have to do is take water and pour it on this clay, and it will get soft and pliable, and I can make a pot. This pot had a hole in the bottom. You can't fire it with that hole. Once a pot's fired, it's ruined. And again, you're going, well, it looks kind of ruined now. All I have to do is add water, and I can make this pot better than it was before. But here's what I know. This is where some of our marriages are today. Right now, as you're sitting here, your marriage is like this. Saints, it's not hopeless. This is why I love this presentation. It's never hopeless with Jesus Christ. All you have to do is get the Word of God and soak that broken marriage in the Word of God, and He can change your marriage. And it starts with you as an individual. As each individual, let the Word soak in you. Now, here's what I know. We're someplace up here, all of us, individually and marriage-wise. We're someplace on this platform. Some of us are shattered. Some of us are off-centered. Just need to get centered, man. Get your relationship centered on Christ. Some of us are dry. And you're just dry. All you need to get that Word and start doing that. Oh, some of us, remember this guy? Remember our friend? Some of us are hard like a rock. You know what happened to him during his presentation? Got harder. Bummer. Bummer for him. I know. By the way, I know these aren't real. Because I talk like they're people. I know they're not real. Just, my wife always tells me, tell people you know they're not real people. I know they're not real, okay? So I know that, but they're my friends. So it's okay. So this guy got harder. Now, my prayer is no one did that. But some of you may have. Some of you might be rejecting everything that's going on up here, and you got harder. That's not my prayer. But I want you to know something. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Always. No matter where you're at, there's always hope in Jesus Christ. And even greater than that, we can trust our God. We can trust our Lord to do the good thing in our lives, even when it's painful. Even, hey, I shattered this pot. Why? I did it for its own good, so I could save it. And we need to know that, man. Trust the potter and let him work in your life. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you so much, God, for your grace in our lives. And I thank you that we can watch this presentation. And Lord, I know for some of us, man, we're seeing ourselves up here. I know all of us someplace up here. And some of us may think we're the bull. Well, praise the Lord. But as a bull, we need to serve the others. And some of us are off-centered. Some of us are dry. Some of us are shattered. Some of us hard like a rock. And I pray right now as we're standing here, God, that you would give every couple and every individual the faith to be honest with you and true and real with you and cry out to you in this moment and begin right now in that area of trusting you and knowing that you only have good for them. And God, work in their lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.